Baruchim Abaim, Rabotai, welcome to another edition of our Thursday night class. We are studying tonight Parashat Vayishlach. Our parasha is known for the great Rachel Bat Mas'uda. Ruach Hashem Tanihana Began Eden Amen. The parasha is known for the great wrestling match between Yaakov Abinu and the angel of Esav. Some will say the guardian angel of Esav. We know that angel is none other than the Malach HaMavet. It's the angel of death, also known as the Satan, also known as the Samichmim. In that epic battle, which is the precursor to the confrontation between Yaakov and the physical Esav, miraculously, Yaakov Avinu was able to overcome the Malach. But not before he gives him a blow to the Gid HaNasheh. The Gid HaNasheh is, maybe they call it the sciatic. It's right by the hip. And he gave him a shot. Vateka Kaf Yerech Yaakov. And the Kaf Yerech of Yaakov is leg by the hip, it dislocated, and he temporarily was limping. There has to be a significance why the angel went exactly for that spot. What exactly is significant? Why would the Satan put his hand directly in that spot? It has to be calculated. I've said in previous shiurim that we are still suffering from that exact spot where the Satan put his hand, because most people put their cell phone exactly on that spot. So you see that there is an everlasting effect that the Satan had even till today. He's still dislocating the Kaf Yerech of Bnei Yaakov. I saw an interesting Yerushalmi, a very novel interpretation. Although it's not the interpretation that I came to say tonight, but we'll say it in passing, because I thought it was a big Hiddush. When the Malach was fighting with Yaakov, the Malach couldn't believe that Yaakov is a human being. How could a human being have such strength? How is he able to have such resistance against him? Normally a malach, in one or two shots, he could level a human being. And here Yaakov Abinu was keeping pace. So he couldn't believe it. So he said, it must be that this is not a human being himself. It must be that this is a malach as well. He calls himself Yaakov, but he's a malach Yaakov. Because he has supernatural power. Eventually he would call him Yisrael, and he would tell him, you have a power of El. El is like a god. El is like a supreme power. So the angel wanted to determine if Yaakov is actually human or malach. So how is he going to do that? So he can't check his license or his passport. So the way he did it was, he checks the socket that's by the legs, that's by the hip. Angels, the Yerushalmi says, cannot sit. Angels are called omdim, because they physically could not sit, because they don't have the bones that connect the hip to the leg that gives them that position of flexibility. That's why it explains when Avraham Abinu invited the guests to the house, so he tells them, "V'hisha'anu tachat ha'etz," go lie down under the tree. Why would he tell them lie down? Why doesn't he tell them have a seat? It's because the malachim, their bodies do not allow them to sit. So he told them, you just have to lie down flat or stand. So therefore, the only way that the malach can determine if Yaakov Abinu is a human or not, he's got to feel him in that spot to see if he has the bones. When he felt that he indeed had a bones, this guy's a human being. And still he has the ability to do this to me. So He gave him a shot in the human part of him. That was the interpretation based on Yerushalmi. But in honor of the night, we'd like to say a novel interpretation based on the Sfarim Kedoshim. There is a pasuk that we learned in last week's parasha. This is when Yaakov Abinu leaves his father's house and he makes his way to the house of Lavan. So the pasuk says, "Vayisa Yaakov raglav," and Yaakov lifted his legs, his feet. "Vayelech arza benekedim," so he went to the land of benekedim. In the English, the way they explain it, he lifted his feet and went toward the land of the easterners. He traveled towards the east. It is benekedim. There is a sefer called Karnayim. In the Sefer Karnayim, he says something that's very cryptic. I can explain it as best as I can, but I don't intend to give you the impression that I really understand it so much. He says that there's something called the Kilipah. And the Kilipot are the powers of evil. Those are the powers of the Shedim, the powers of Tum'ah. And they are in a certain area, and the Rasha'im, they're able to tap into that area where they draw all their powers from, all their negative influences come from this. And the Sefer writes that they're in a certain direction. Actually, it's the southeast. That doesn't mean that the Shedim are living in Miami. But the point is, in the direction of Dirumit, Mizrahit. Dirumit is south, and Mizrahit is east. So in the region of the southeast, that's where the Kohot Tum'ah draw their powers from. So he says, and that's what it means that Yaakov went to Eretz Kedem. Kedem is not only the easterners, but Kedem is Rashi Tevot. Keren Deromit Mizrahit. It's the direction of Deromit Mizrahit. And that's all he says. And then he leaves it to the reader that you have to try to figure out and make sense of what is this Keren Deromit Mizrahit. He says, Shemisham Yinikat Lavan. That's where the Yinika of Lavan is. So he really was going into a dangerous place. He goes on to say that Bil'am ate from the same direction. If you remember when they're looking to hire Lavan, Balak says, or Bil'am says about himself, that Balak came and hired me, and he told me that I should come, Meharere Kedem, from the mountains of Kedem. Kedem again, is Kedem Deromit Mizrahit. So that's the same place. The question is, what is significant about that direction that the Sitra Achara has a hold over there? So I saw brought down in Sfarim. If you look in your Sidurim, you'll notice when we say the Shema Yisrael, we say Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad, you'll notice that the Dalet of Echad is super large. It's written in a double font. The reason for that is because there's certain letters from certain pesukim that we cannot afford the reader to make a mistake. So we have to make sure that he sees the letter clearly emboldened. I understand that we cover our eyes when we say the Shema, but when his eyes are open, he'll look in the book and he'll be reminded that that Dalet of Echad is indeed a Dalet. Because the Dalet can become confused with another letter in the Hebrew alphabet, and that's a Resh. They're very similar. Just think of the construction of a Dalet and a Resh. It's basically the same, it's just missing a little extension that comes up from the top right portion. God forbid if somebody would read the Shema and say, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Acher, Lo Aleinu Velo Alechem, that would be blasphemy. So the Dalet has to be written very big. There's another letter in the Torah that's also written very big for the same reason that we're concerned that the reader doesn't make a mistake. The Pasuk says, Ki lo teshtahaveh le'el acher. And you should not bow down to a foreign god. Of course, there's no such thing as a foreign god. It's the way of the Torah saying it. Le'el acher, that a god that you accept as foreign. The resh of acher is also written very, very big. Because there, we don't want the reader to mix the resh with a dalet. Because if he says, Ki lo teshtahaveh le'el echad, then that's also blasphemy. So, whenever you have this dalet resh word in a place where it could lead to chas v'shalom kefira, so the Torah does us a favor and enlarges it for us, whether it's in the echad of the Shema or the acher of Ki lo teshtahaveh le'el echad. The Mefarshim explain that this is exactly what the Yetzer Hara, what he does. When we are presented with a mitzvah, and we have excitement to go do the mitzvah, and in our mind we're thinking to serve Hashem Echad, the Yetzirah comes along and he erases the top of the Dalet, and all of a sudden our excitement to the mitzvah weakens, and instead of serving Hashem Echad, we go serve Acher, which is the Yetzirah, Elohim Acherim. He's always erasing that top of the Dalet and turning God from Hashem Echad to Hashem Acher. The way we serve Hashem Acher is when we serve the Yetzirah. When we do something that's counter to the commandments, the Kadosh Baruch Hu says, do not speak these words, it's Lashon Hara. That's what the Hashem Echad says. And the Hashem Acher, which is the Sitra Hara, says, speak it, it's okay. And we speak it, so what we basically did was, is we erased the top of the Dalet from Hashem Echad. Instead of worshiping Hashem Echad, we worship Hashem Acher. Lavdil, somebody would go up to a Sefer Torah with a razor blade. And he would go to the Dalet of Hashem Echad, and he would just erase the a millimeter of ink on the top right portion of the Dalet. So we would scream, hey, what are you doing? You posel the Sefer Torah. And no less in a place that is so significant. That's what happens every time a person commits an Avera. Every time a person commits Avera, he's changing the Dalet to a Resh. He's committing himself from Hashem Echad to El Acher. He once explained that might be when the Jewish people came to Har Sinai and they received the Torah. God said, Anochi Hashem Elohecha Asher Hotzeitikha Me'eretz Mitzrayim Mibet Abadim. And on that day they heard Borei Olam's voice directly. And they heard Borei Olam say, I am God. Lo yiyeh lecha Elohim acherim. And you will not have any other God. And on that day, Am Yisrael accepted upon themselves the oneness of God. It was beyond the shadow of a doubt. It was undeniable. They heard the word of Borei Olam. Moshe Rabbeinu then went up to receive the Torah, to get the details. And in the interim, the Jewish people unraveled. Before you know it, they had an Egel HaZahav. And the Erev Rav is prancing in front of the Egel HaZahav, and they're screaming, and they're telling Christ, El Elohecha Yisrael, this is your new God. That means at that moment, Am Yisrael, they switched the Hashem Echad to Elohim Acherim. They switched the Echad to Acher. They switched the Dalet to Resh. Moshe Rabbeinu was in Shamayim at the moment. God tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Lech red, go down. What's the language? What does he have to tell him? Go down. He knows he has to go down. Go back. Go down. If he's up, you have to go down. You don't have to tell the direction. He knows what button you have to put on the elevator. He's in Shamayim, so you have to push the down button. But you have to have lechled. That was the way Borei Olam was telling Moshe Rabbeinu, look at the people. They switched the resh and the dalid. Lechled. He was telling him what the sin was. That this is a sin over here between these two pivotal letters. Lechled, kishichet amecha. The nation has been corrupted. 50 days ago they said, or 40 days ago they said, Hashem Echad. And now all of a sudden they're saying, El Eloheka Yisrael, Elohim Acharim. So he wasn't giving him a direction, go down. He was telling him, listen, this is the sin, this is the sin of Resh Dalet. And this has been an old story. This has been the story since the time of Adam HaRishon. Adam HaRishon was given one mitzvah. His Torah considered of one mitzvah. Don't eat from the Eitz HaDa'at. That tree, the Eitz HaDa'at. Many people say, such an easy mitzvah. If God would have given me that mitzvah, I wouldn't have eaten. Today we have an Eitz HaDa'at. It's called the Internet. They call it the Information Superhighway. It's Eitz HaDa'at. Most of the computers today are made by Apple, which is the Eitz. So you have Eitz HaDa'at. So everybody's eating from the Eitz HaDa'at all day long. So you have a claim against Adam HaRishon that he ate from Eitz HaDa'at. Everybody looks on the back of the computer and you see an apple with a bite taken out of it. That's a symbol of God's telling you the sin of Adam HaRishon is still manifest today. Everybody's taking a bite of the apple of the Eitz HaDa'at. But I didn't come to talk to you about that tonight. But I think that was an important caveat. Anyway, so Chava gets seduced by the Nahash Kadmon. And the Nahash comes along and says, well, it's not so bad. God doesn't want you to eat because if you eat, then you're going to become God. And God doesn't want a rivalry. God doesn't want competition. That's what the Midrash says, that the snake told Chava. That of course God doesn't want you to eat. The day you eat, you're going to be a God. Basically, the snake was kofir in Hashem Echad. Chava accepted that claim, and she ate. As a result, she went then to Adam HaRishon, and she also gave him, and he ate. At that moment, they switched the loyalty of Hashem Echad to El Acher, to a foreign god. Instead of worshipping God, they worshipped the Nahash. That was the first time in history where the Dal and the Resh became switched, became changed. Borei Olam comes to Adam HaRishon, and he says, as a result of this sin, you're going to be punished. And the punishment is that the ground, instead of producing fruit in an easy manner, the ground is going to produce thorns and thistles. And how does the pasuk say it? V'kotz v'dardar tatzmiach lach. V'kotz is thorns, v'dardar. When you go to a ground, unless you plow it and work it and put a lot of effort in it, the ground, by doing nothing to the ground, it'll just produce thorns and thistles, things that we have no use for. So Adam HaRishon is cursed, that you have to plow the ground, and you have to work the ground, and you have to take out all the weeds, and the big avodah. Before that, there was nothing. The ground just produced. Why was that the punishment? That the ground now will produce dardar? Because dardar is dalad resh, dalad resh. Because since the sin of Adam and Chava, it was twofold. You both switched it. Not enough that Chava switched the dalad and the resh. But now you also switch to that. You shouldn't have listened to Chava. Both of you committed the sin. Therefore, the punishment is the kotz v'dardar. Interesting that it's kotz, because the difference between the dalid and the resh is the kotz. The kotz is is that little extension that comes out of the Dalid on the top. So it says, this was Ya'avon, because you broke the courts of the Dardar. I also want to point out that the numerical difference, there you go, Mitzvah, only an accountant can figure that out. The numerical difference between a Dalid and a Resh, a Dalid is 4 and Resh is 200. So the numerical difference between the two letters is 196, which is exactly the gematria of the word kotz. Kotz is kof, vav, tzaddi. So Borei Olam says, oh, look what you did. The kotz v'dardar, you switch the dalet and the resh, which the difference there is 196 swing, and you took it off, which means the same avon that Bnei Yisrael did when they got to Har Sinai. It says Paska Zuhamatam, the sin of the snake was eliminated from them. That means it took them from the sixth day of creation, that's when Adam sinned, to the year 2448 Vav Sivan or Zayin Sivan. When they got the Torah, it took them 2448 years to fix that sin. And on the day of Matan Torah, God says, Ani Amarti Elohim Atem, Ubne Elyon Kulechem. Finish, we reach the level of Bnei Elyon. The sin of Adam and Ishon is fixed. 40 days later, when we worship the Egel, God says, Achen, Ke Adam Temutun. You're going to die like Adam. And that's why the Dar came back. The Kotz V'Dardar came back when God said, Lech Red, go back. All of a sudden we see the Resh Dalet back in the play again. We haven't seen those letters next to each other from the times of Adam and Rishon. And all of a sudden, boom, Nechred, we fell back into the Kotz V'Dardar. But we go further. There's a Gemara, a Gemara in Sota. What does the Gemara say? Let's learn it together. It's Sota Davchap. It's talking about writing a Sefer Torah. And it's talking about the ink that you use to write the Sefer Torah. So the Rabbi Meir is talking. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel Mishum Rabbi Meir. Kishaiti lamed Torah etzel Rabbi Akiva, when I was studying Torah with Rabbi Akiva, Haiti matil kankantum letoch adiyo. Rabbi Meir used to have a secret ingredient that he used to add to the ink that he used to use when he used to write the Sefer Torah, and that's kankantum. Amale beni ma melachtecha. So Rabbi Akiva asked Rabbi Meir, what's your job? What do you do? אמרתי לו, לבלר אני. לבלר זה סופר. אמר לי, בני, הווה זהיר שמלאכתך מלאכת שמיים היא. Be careful, סופר is not an easy job. Your job is מלאכת שמיים, and if you make a mistake in the Sefer Torah, it can be a big difference. שמה תחסיר אות אחת. Maybe you're going to minimize a letter. Or tatir otachat, or you're going to add an extra letter? Nimset atam macharib et kol ha'olam kulo. You're going to destroy the whole world. So be careful, you don't miss any letters. For example, if a sofer misses one letter, it's blasphemy. How? The pasuk says, Vashem Elohim emet. If he misses the aleph from emet, God forbid, the pasuk says, Vashem Elohim, I can't even say it. You take away the aleph, it's met. So he says, be careful. You have to double check. Then make sure every letter is there. Amarti lo. So Rabbi Meir says, I told Rabbi Akiva, I got nothing to worry about, Rabbi. Davar echad yesh li she'ani matil letoch ha-diyo. I have a secret ingredient that I put in the diyo. Ve'kan kantum shemo. It's called kan kantum. Amali. So he comes back and says, are you supposed to put it back and forth? He says, yeah, I put it. Why? Because this causes the ink to become indelible. It's inerasable. Why did the Bimir want to make sure that you can't erase from the letters of the Torah? So he says, I'm worried. Lemehash lizbuv. I'm worried about a zivuv. What's a zivuv? Fly. What is he worried about, a fly? The dilma ateh. Maybe after I write the Sefer Torah, the fly is going to come. V'yativ ateged dalit. And it's going to sit on the tag that comes out of the dalit, that extension that we're talking about. U'mahikle. And it's going to erase it. U'mashvile resh. And it's going to turn into a resh. Rashi on the spot says, what is he talking? A dal into a resh? So he says, U'mashvilesh kegon dalet dehad. Oh, that's our story. So Rashi said, that's exactly what the Bimir was worried about. He was worried that his zvuv should come and erase the dalet and make it a resh. So therefore he said, I have a solution. When I write the Sefer Torah, that dalet is inerasable. I use kan kantum. So even if the zvuv comes and he scratches, it's not going to change it. It'll remain there. How you won't be able to make it a resh? This is what Rabbi Meir said. Although it sounds very far-fetched. Take the Sefer Torah out every Monday and Thursday on Shabbat. Very rarely do we see a fly that's sitting on the letters. And not only that, the Torah's only opened once a year on that word Echad of Shema. In the summer when we read Va'et Hanan, so for the 2.5 minutes that column is exposed, the Bimeir is worried that a fly is going to come and erase the dalet and make it a resh, and for that he puts kankantum. Again, it sounds a little far-fetched. Unless the Bimeir is teaching us... That's okay. Okay. Watch what I'm telling you. The Gemara is telling us something much deeper. There is a Chidah, Rav Chidah, Rabbeinu Chaim Yosef David Azulay, in a sefer called Chomat Anach. He throws a one line over there, and he says there is a kelipa, more kelipot. He says there's a certain kelipa that when the Jewish people are involved in Bitul Torah, where they're not learning like they're supposed to, they're wasting time from the study of Torah, so God sends a certain negative energy, and that kelipah is called the kelipah zivuv, and that kelipah comes and causes trouble for them. And he proves it, Rav Chaim. So zivuv is not a physical fly. When you talk to the Mekubbalim and you tell them Zivuv, right away, oh, Kelipat Zivuv, they start shaking. And they know that specifically it always will come when there's a deviation, when the people are not studying Torah, and then all of a sudden the Zivuv comes and attacks. So he brings a proof. He says when the Jewish people were in the Midbar, and it says Amalek came. Why did Amalek come and fight the Jewish people? So the pasuk before that says that the Jewish people were in a place called Rephidim. Rephidim, there's no place in Rephidim. Look on the map, you won't find a place called Rephidim. Doesn't exist. So the Gemara says it's a phantom place, but Rephidim means Rafu Yedehem in the Torah. That there was a lax in the study of Torah, and once there was a lax in the study of Torah, boom, the kelipah of Zivuv came. In this case, it came in the form of Amalek. How did he know that Amalek is the Kelipav Zevu? Because he says after the war was over, what does Moshe Rabbeinu say? God tell Moshe Rabbeinu, Ketov Zot Zekaron Basefer, write the story of this war in the book. Vesin Beozne Yoshua, and tell the people. So he writes Zekaron Basefer Vesin Beozne. Rashet Evod Zevuv. I say again. Ketov Zot, Zikaron, Beshefer, Veshim, Beozneh. So you see that? He says, the Zevuv came and got us. The Torah is called Lekach Tov. Ki Lekach Tov Natati Lachem. Torati Al Ta'azob. The numerical value of Tov is 17. The numerical value of Zevuv, Zayin Bet, is 7 and 2, which is 9. Plus 6 is 15, plus bet is 2. And therefore he says, Zele Umad Zeh. When Bnei Yisrael holds on to Tov, then the Zvuv flies away. But when Bnei Yisrael closes the Tov, then the Zvuv comes. And then Chas v'Shalom, the Zvuv causes trouble. Sometimes it comes in the form of Amalek. He goes on to say, again, I take the opportunity to come here on Thursday nights to tell you things that I don't think you know already. Some of you will say, I never heard any of this stuff. Then I've accomplished my goal. To come here and just repeat to you things that you've heard since you were 3 years old about the Yaakov Abinu and the Gid HaNasheh, there's no purpose. You'll say that I'm not inspiring you. I'm not motivating you. So I'm telling you now things that I know you're not going to hear anywhere unless you come to the shiur. Who's going to talk about Kelipat Zevuv? At least in public, who's going to mention these things? But Rav Hida said it. Rav Hida knew that we were going to buy his books. He knew we were going to read it. Somebody's going to read it. Somebody's going to talk about it. So he says, when Moshe Rabbeinu was blessing the tribes at the end of his life, he blessed the two tribes, Yisachar and Zebulun. Yisachar is the tribe that learns, and Zebulun is the tribe that works. But Zebulun supports Yisachar, and as a result, there's peace between the two tribes, and there's peace in Am Yisrael. So he told them, he said, Zebulun, Semach Zebulun besetecha, v'Yisachar be'ohalecha. He tells Zebulun, you could be happy when you go out to work. Semach zivulun besetecha. You know why you should be happy when you go out to work? Because Yisachar is in the Bet Midrash learning, and as a result, you do not have to worry about the Kelipav Zevuv. Zevuv rashetevot. Zivulun besetecha v'Yisachar be'ohalecha. That since you have this deal between Yisachar and Zevulun, you have nothing to worry about. Furthermore, the Gemara says, Avraham Abinu was Zaken v'Yoshev v'Yishiva. When you think of Avraham Abinu, the Gemara says your image of Avraham has to be Rosh Yeshiva. Avraham Zaken v'Yoshev v'Yishiva. He had a yeshiva. So the Gemara says, how do we know it? Because the Pasuk says, V'Avraham Zaken Baba Yamim. And that's the Pasuk that the Gemara learns, that Avraham is Rosh Yeshiva. And as a result, in Avraham's tent, you would never see a fly, because he was a Ken Rosh Yeshiva. His Torah protected him from the Kelipav Zevuv. Zevuv Rashi Tevot, v'Avraham Zaken Baba Yamin, which also is the same concept. The Ben Ishchai writes in Ben Yoyada, there's a story in the Navi that says, Elisha HaNavi used to go to a house of a Shunamit. And she set him up. She built a loft for him with a table and a chair and a lamp and a bed. And what happened? She realizes that he's a holy man. She says, Ish Elohim Kadosh Over Alenu Tamid. There's a holy man over here. So the Gemara says, how did she know that he's a holy man? So the Gemara says something very strange. That when he sat down to eat, There was never any flies on the table. Lo nimsa zvuv ala shulchan. That makes a person kadosh. You want to tell me that Elisha was clean? That I accept. But the flies didn't bother him when he was eating. But why is that a proof that he's kadosh? That's the Beit Yishai's question. So he says, because it's the nature of people that when they sit down at the table, they talk lashon hara, and they talk devarim betelim. Although the table is a mizbeach, and therefore there's a mitzvah to speak the Vre Torah l'shulchan. And therefore he says a big secret. He says, when people are sitting at the table, and you see flies coming around the table, he says, those flies are klipat zevuv. And they're only coming to the table because they're coming to warn you. You're not speaking the Vre Torah. But those people that are meticulous, that always speak the Vre Torah l'shulchan, you don't need any exterminator. Automatically, the zevuvim go away. So she said, it's incredible. It seems there were flies in the house. But the second Elisha would come to the table, he would open up a Devre Torah, and you see, oh, the flies go away. And therefore she said, this must be Ish Elohim Kadosh, that the Kedipav Zevuv has no hold on him. That's what it says. That's the Ben Yishai says. That's why Rabbi Meir put Kankantum in the Dior. Which means he wanted to make the Torah inerasable. Which means that nobody can ever go against the Torah. The Torah is etched in stone. The Torah has an endurance. And by that, he says, once I make the Torah in such a way that you can't get rid of it, the Torah becomes permanent, so automatically the zvuv will not have a hold. And he gave the example that the zvuv won't be able to turn the dalet into the resh. Not on the Sefer Torah per se, but that's what the zvuv does. The zvuv, which is the Sitra Achara, is always switching Hashem Echad to Hashem Acher. So he says, I did a system that I created a permanence in Torah. Now, why to be Meir? I'll tell you why to be Meir. People are influenced by experiences that happen to them in life. When you want to know why people react a certain way, a lot of times you have to say, what was his history? Where did he come from? Tell me his story when he was young. Rabbi Meir had an experience that most people never witnessed. Very, very rare case for a great rabbi to witness what he witnessed. He had a great rabbi. His rabbi was called Elisha ben Abuya. Elisha ben Abuya was a rabbi of the Mishnah. And Rabbi Meir learned most of his Torah from Elisha. At a certain point, Elisha went up to Shamayim. He went up to a place called Pardes with Rabbi Akiva, and Ben Zoman, Ben Azai. I mean, that's a private tour. Not too many people were invited. Elisha ben Abuya was invited. When he got up there, he saw things that he didn't understand. And he concluded that there must be more than one God, Chas v'Shalom. He saw a malach that had a lot of power. And he said, how could the malach have so much power if there's God? And he came along and said, must be there's two gods. That means he went up believing Hashem Echad, and he came down believing Hashem Acher. And that's why, for the rest of his life, they nicknamed Elisha, they don't want to call him by his name anymore. They called him Acher. Simply, they called him Acher, the other guy. You know, Mr. Anonymous, they don't want to say his name. But the depth is what I just told you. They called him Acher because that was his sin. His sin was Acher. This is the one that switched the dalet to the resh. And that's the Rabbi Meir's rabbi. So he saw this happen. He saw the klipav zvuv come to none other than his rabbi Elisha ben Abuya, and take the dalet and make it a resh. So the Rabbi Meir says, I now have to recommit myself to make the Torah so strong that this should not happen, that the dalet should not become a resh. It was a reaction to what happened to his rabbi. Oh. What does this have to do with the What does this have to do with the Gida Nasha? I'm not too sure what it has to do with it. Even if we don't say anything about the Gida Nasha, till this point, we said a lot, enough to digest and be satisfied. But the Mefarshim say no, it's directly related to Gida Nasha. The Gida Nasha is on the leg. I'm going to have to do a show and tell on this. Assuming that it's on the right leg, so it's here, which they consider the right leg like the leg of the Dalit. The waist is the roof of the Dalit. So you see, when you're looking at a body, maybe there's only one leg. Second leg is not interesting. You only hit him on one side. So you have the leg of the Dalit, and then you have the roof of the Dalit, and there's a little bone that juts out over here. That's over there where the Gida Nasha is. That's what makes the Dalit a Dalit. And therefore, when the Sitra Hara or the Malach hit him in this spot over here, what he actually was doing was, he hit him in the Kotso Shel Dalit to turn the Dalit into a Resh. That means on that day, or that night, that's where the power of Zvuv came to turn Hashem Echad to Ahed. That means any time a Jew is unfaithful to his religion, and any time a Jew sins, where does that come from? That is a result of the deadly blow when Yaakov wakes up in the morning and says, V'netzoleya. He's limping. Although Yaakov Abinu himself got healed very quickly. By the time the morning came, he was better. It says, V'yizra'al lo ha-shemesh, and he was fine. Everything was good. He healed. His pain was only limited. That's because Yaakov Abinu was representing Torah. But that deadly blow would influence the children of Yaakov Abinu. And any time a person commits sin, it's coming from that. Oh, now we understand why it says that the Kilipot, like Lavan and Bil'am, they come from Kedem. Kedem, I told you, is Keren Deromit Mizrachit. Standing facing east, because that's the normal way we face. Which way is east? Straight. Which way is south? South is always to the right. When you're facing east, south is to the right. Now stand straight. We don't have a show and tell over here. Do we have a Dalit somewhere on the board? Maybe we do. Picture a Dalit here. I'm drawing with my fingers, a Dalit. Where is the Kotzil Dalit? In which direction? It's in the south and the east. You understand? The Kotzil Dalit, that extra measure, that extra protrusion that comes out of the top of the Dalit is in the southeast. Yeah, draw a Dalit. Look at my fingers. The top, the roof. Tzadikim, perfect. You see it? Okay, good. I can't see it, but you see it, it's fine. But the point, I don't see it, I can't see far. But the point is, that's what it means. That's where they're hanging out. That's what it means in Kedem. Kedem, not the grape juice. The Kedem, they're hanging out in Kedem Deromit Mizrachit. That's where the Sitra Hara hangs out, in that spot over there, because they're constantly trying to, and the only way to overcome it is through the study of the Torah. Like Rabbi Meir, he made sure the Torah doesn't get forgotten. Yaakov Abinu is the Amud HaTorah. Therefore, the Malach doesn't have a hold on Keren Deromit Mizrachit, on that Kotso Shedda by the Gida Nasha. But every time a Jew goes into a restaurant and he wants to order a sirloin steak, and they tell him, hey, you can't order a sirloin, you're Jewish, we can't serve you that. That's Gida Nasha. He's reminded of that Dalid that turns into a Resh, V'kotz V'dardar, Lechred. Now I'd like to tell you a chadush. On this, what I'm going to say now, I will say, all my life I was looking for an answer to this question. And tonight, I think we have an answer. In the Zechut of the Kal Kadosh, the answer came to me. In the Beit HaMikdash, we had a Mizbeach. I'm not going to confuse you, although this is coming up in the Daf Yomi, they're going to talk about this, the Mizbeach that they had, and there's measurements of the Mizbeach, the altar where they brought the sacrifices, and there was a lot of service done on the Mizbeach, the Korbanot were on the Mizbeach, as well as sprinkling of the blood. Sprinkling of the blood is the main service. That's where the kapara comes. The kapara is in the blood. For the simple reason, because the sin of a person is in the blood. It's the blood that causes a person to sin. That's where the yetzara is. That's where his the heat of the sin is in the blood. That's what gives him his strength. And therefore we take blood out of the person. That's a favor of God. We take blood of an animal. We sprinkle it on the Mizbeah. Now the Mizbeah has a base. The base is called the Yesod. When you sprinkle the blood on the Mizbeah, it trickles down and lands into this basin on the bottom of the Mizbeah called the Yesod. Interestingly enough, the Yesod circles the Mizbeah on two sides. Two sides there's Yesod, but on two sides there's no Yesod. On the side of the south and on the side of the east, there is no Yesod. And the students always asking me, why is Keren Deromit Mizrahit? Why isn't there any Yesod? Now I have the answer. Every morning we say in the prayer, we review the laws of Korbanot. And it tells you every sacrifice, what do you have to do with the blood? There's only one sacrifice that we sprinkle the blood on Keren Deromit Mizrahit, on the southeast side, the spot that does not have a Yesod. And what is that? Korban Hatat. Hatot Tasibur, the Korbanot Hatat, Vayachid. These are the sin offerings. You catch the blood. You must sprinkle the blood on four sides. You go up the ramp. The Mizbeah was humongous. You have to walk up a ramp. The first spot that the sinner must go is Keren Deromit Mizrahit. Why? Because that's the place of sin. Because every sinner was pogam in Keren. Every sinner was pogam in Keren Deromit Mizrahit on that right, eastern right side, southeastern side of the letter Dalid. That's the spot of sin. Every time a person sins, he turned the Dalit into a Resh. The Pigam is in Kedem, is in Keren Deromit Mizrahit. Therefore, when the sinner comes to the Mizbeah, his first approach must be the Keren Deromit Mizrahit. And that's why there's no Yesod over there. Why? Yesod is foundation. You know who's called the Yesod? The Sadiq is called Yesod. The Sadiq Yesod HaOlam. This person that comes to make a sin, he's no Sadiq. Until he fixes the Keren Deromit Mizrahit, now he's a Sadiq. Therefore, at that point, there's no Yesod. Because that place is the place of the sinners. And the place of the sinners, there's no Sadiq Yesod HaOlam at that place. That's why there cannot be Yesod. So he approaches the Keren Mizrahit, Deromit Mizrahit, he sprinkles, finished. Now you're fixed. Now as he goes around the rest of the Mizbeah to sprinkle, now he's a Sadiq already. Now the Yesod is around the other parts of the Mizbeah. This is the depth. And if that's the case, we can explain a Pasuk that's integral to the concept of Teshuvah. We say, Hashivenu Adonai Elecha V'Nashuva. God, bring us to Teshuvah. Hadesh Yamenu Kekedem. Oh. What does it mean? Hadesh Yamenu Kekedem. Simply it means, Hadesh Yamenu, bring us back to the good old days. Kekedem. The olden days before we made sin. But now we're saying, Hadesh Yamenu. Hadesh Yamenu Kekedem. Kekedem is Nashet Tevot. Keren Deromit Mizrachit. Since every sinner approaches the Mizveyach on Keren Deromit Mizrachit. So we say, Hadesh Yamenu Kekedem. Like in the olden days, we were able to go to the Mizveyach on the side of Kedem, because that's where we made the Avon on the side of Kedem. Today we don't have a Mizveyach. Today we don't have that approach. Today we don't. So we say, Hadesh Yamenu Kekedem. Make it as if we do it. And this is the lesson of the Gid HaNasheh. The angel very strategically knew exactly where he's putting his hand. Not only to determine if Yaakov was an angel or not, if he could bend his feet or not and sit. He put it on that spot because that's what he does until today. He tries to change the Dalit into a Resh, and that's why the Siddur has to write a big Dalit on Echad and a big Resh on Acher. And this is the lesson. It started from Adam HaRishon. It was repeated at the time of the Chet HaEgel. And every time a Jew is disloyal to one of the mitzvot in the Torah, it's Kotz V'Dardar. It goes back to that primordial sin. Today we don't have a Mizbeach. We don't have a Mizbeach to Mechaper. And therefore the only way to Mechaper, the Zvuv, that's the Kripav Zvuv, that bug that does the erasing, the only way to neutralize the Zvuv, which is 17, Kilekach Tov Natati Lachem Torati Al Ta'azovu. We must use the Torah, which is 17. But once there's a Rifayon in Torah, then Amalek comes. And that's why we said, the Zevuv is Rashi Tevot, Semach Zevulun Beseteka V'Yisachar Be'Olecha. When Zevulun is working and supporting Yisachar, and they're both doing what they're supposed to be doing, then this Kedipa and Hashem Echad. And that's why we say that when Mashiach comes, then these Kedipot are all going to fall to the wayside. Ba'alu Moshi'im Bar Sion, Vishpot et Har Esav, Vayetal Adonai Menucha. And then on that day, Adonai leMelech haKoraz, Bayom Ahu, Yeh Adonai Echad uShmo Echad. What do you mean, Bayom Ahu? Today Hashem is Echad. No. Today the Dalet and the Resh keep on going back and forth. It's Echad, but sometimes it becomes Ached. But Bayom Ahu, after Mashiach comes, and therefore this Kedipa is totally wiped out, Bayom Ahu, Yeh Adonai Echad. ושמו אחד, ברוך אדוני לעולם, אמן ואמן. רבי חנניה בן קשה אומר, עשה בר כל זכות ישראל, לפיך כרבה לדור שלך חופש מעל צדקו, יגדיר תורה ויאדיר, קדם.